Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you. Thank you very much for tuning in. We enjoy your company, that's for sure. Joining us today by phone, we've got Doug Cunningham, Workers Independent News. Doug, welcome back.
Charles, great to be with you as always, man, and heading out into this new, brand new week in a brand new year, and really fired up and ready to go, despite what may be on the horizon for us in terms of struggle here with the new government. Good things happening in labor today. Well, I don't know if it's good, kind of a mixed bag. In California, the University of California system strike will be happening statewide tomorrow. 600 skilled trades workers from the Teamsters Local 2010 went on strike Friday at UCLA, and now there are going to be lots more going on strike throughout the University of California system. This is an unfair labor practices action because based on the refusal to bargain in good faith for years at the University of California. 4 years these workers have gone without a raise. And that's even though, and strangely enough, even though the university admits that it has budgeted for those raises, which are now still unpaid because the negotiations haven't been wrapped up. So Teamsters Local 2010 is the union. They represent 12,000 administrative support workers in the UC system and 800 skilled trades workers system-wide. So tomorrow it'll be system-wide. Friday it was UCLA.
That's wild. That's really wild, but... excuse me. What are the students, what are the parents thinking about this?
Well, I hope, I mean, I'm not sure exactly how much support. On campus, there's support. I don't know about how far out in the community that it goes. And this is a limited duration strike. They're not going to just be out indefinitely. And efforts are still underway to bargain and get some contracts done. So my guess is, and my insight about it, is that it probably... will get done eventually, but these workers are very, very upset, of course, that they've gone, you know, for that long without raises, and that the university really hasn't been negotiating in good faith according to the union, and they're filing unfair labor practice charges. They also say there have been violations of state labor law in California by the University of California system, of all places, where, you know, if anybody knows what the law is, they should, and if anybody has a stake in you know, making sure that they follow state labor law, it should be the University of California system to set a good example for other employers throughout California. So we'll keep our eye on that. I'll be following up with Local 2010 to figure out where things go next, what the next steps are, and we'll be reporting that to our listeners out there and to you guys on the Union Edge, of course. And you know, another development, Fiat Chrysler last week announced $1 billion in Ohio and Michigan to build Jeeps, and also apparently a Jeep pickup truck is coming as well, and also possibly moving Dodge Ram production from Mexico back to the United States. So the UAW is happy to hear all of that. And by the way, if you think that this is because Trump did it, no, the auto companies might be touting their investments to try to blunt any effort by Trump to tax cars that are coming into this country from foreign automakers or from domestic makers who are selling them back here in the States. So there may be a tactic there, but these developments, these announcements about these big investments, trust me, they make these decisions, you know, some years in advance sometimes. So this is not necessarily because Trump got elected, but it's something that the auto companies are touting now during this Detroit Auto Show week. To show that they are investing in the United States.
You know, it makes sense to do this for a number of different reasons. Okay. Number one, Americans like American-made products. Okay. Number two, that the money that goes in wages, it goes to people here in the United States. It gets spent here in the United States. It gets taxed here in the United States. And even if you're making a couple extra bucks in the short term, you're going to be losing it in the long term. So, I mean, don't get me wrong. I have nothing against people in Mexico, but they're not providing a service we can't provide here.
No, that's absolutely right. And I think, too, that, you know, other nations have done this. Germany in particular has done this with their auto industry, and they've got a very strong auto industry. They want, if you're going to have, this is going to be a major market for you, if this is going to be an important market here in our country, in the United States, for automobiles and trucks, then you need to build them here as much as you possibly can. And that goes for the other automakers. And by the way, the foreign automakers are making more investments here in the States, too. Volkswagen, in the period between 2015 and 2019, they say they will invest $7 billion in U.S. plants, down in Tennessee, probably, to make vehicles here. So this is a very important market in the world, not the most important market anymore going into the future. I mean, China might very well do that. They, in fact, today, I don't know what the numbers are, but China is very close to the numbers in the United States auto industry. So it's just a matter, I know it's a worldwide global industry, it's complicated, lots of parts go into all these cars, but let's face it, if your major market, one of your most important markets is the United States, and this is where you got your start as the domestic auto companies, then you owe it to this country and to workers here to continue to invest in this country and to continue to make products here. And that the only reason that these American plants could make cars overseas is because for years their workers here in the United States produced profits for them so that they could go do that. So that's another issue to this whole thing. So it's a good thing for America, and I think a good thing globally, really, for the production to be in the countries where the most important markets are for these auto companies.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, so Doug, again, you know, this is one of the reasons why we're seeing union membership in Tennessee and in Kentucky and other places like that going up, because manufacturing is here in the United States. It's good for the economy. You know what the problem is? The folks in Kentucky, the legislature, just voted in right to work. Okay. So now what's going to happen is jobs all across the economy, not in union shops, but all across the economy in Kentucky are going to go down by 20%. You're going to have less funding available for cops, firemen, and paramedics. There's going to be more kids packed into a classroom. The potholes are going to stay in front of your house a lot longer. And these politicians are going, hee, 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 look, I stuck it to the unions. When in fact, I guarantee you, year over year, next year, union membership in Kentucky and Tennessee are going to be higher than they are today.
How about that? Yeah, I mean, this short-sightedness that they have is incredible to me. I mean, you cannot keep just rewarding the top 1% in this country and attacking workers and driving down wages. I mean, you can't do that.
Doug, here's what I look at it as. These politicians are willing to do harm to Americans. Harm to Americans on behalf of a campaign contribution.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that's nailed it right on the head. You know, your family is being hurt by these craven politicians who are doing the bidding of their economic masters who contribute all this money to their campaigns, and they don't really give a rip how much they hurt their states or their communities or their country or your family while they do it.
Right.
And voters have got to get wise to that and start rejecting these clowns.
And Doug, if you don't believe me, okay, take a look at Mississippi. Mississippi's had right to work for years and years and years. See what it is. You pick a job and you find out what it pays in Pennsylvania versus what it pays in Mississippi.
That's right. They're always bringing up the rear there, having had that so-called right-to-work legislation for many, many years. It's just incredible. It's astounding to me that the voters will sucker for this kind of thing time and time again, and they got to stop doing it because that's where the real power lies. If people get a light bulb going off over their heads all of a sudden and reject these kind of political maneuvers, then you won't be having this kind of harm and people voting to do this all the time. But it's hard to overcome all that money, you know, that these politicians are getting from their masters who want them to do this for them because it benefits them, the politicians, the economic masters of these politicians who are in the 1%. You know, sure, their bottom line might go up temporarily, but it hurts everybody else, and that's the bottom line.
Absolutely. Doug, we got to get going. How do we find out more about you and Workers Independent News?
Workers Independent News, laborradio.org, and please go there, check it out, spend some time there, like us on Facebook and all of that, but give us your story ideas, too, and turn your union on to us, and if you can, if you're in a position to do so, support us financially and keep this keep workers' voices on the air nationwide. We're very unique in that regard, so laborradio.org, Workers Independent News.
There you go. Doug, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to The Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio.